What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Grecian Gossip. Unlike Paul Tisdale, we seem to be chopping and changing the lineup every week. Dan's back with us. It's me, David Byram, Jamie Hawkins, and Dan today. Howard is off sick, so we'll crack on. First of all, crew on Saturday, a good 3-0 win for City. Jamie, I know you weren't there, but you must have been impressed with the performance, with the result.
Yeah, I was following it as much as I can, and, you know, on paper before, it sounded like it was going to be a tough game with crew making a pretty decent start to the season. So I thought there was a chance we could slip up. But, you know, when I heard that, you know, we should have been 4-5-0 up at half time, you know, that shows how positive it is at the moment, attacking wise. And, you know, no goals conceded at home in the league either, which is incredible, really, when you think about what happened last season when not only can we not get a win, but can even keep a clean sheet. So, you know, it was a great win, another great performance from the team, the same team that's been consistently performing well, and you know, it keeps the run going, of course, and you know, to come away with maximum points from Forest Green, Barnet and Crewe, you know, 9 points in a week, it's a great return, because I think people looked at the Barnet game, probably said, looking at a point maybe, you know, when you're playing midweek games, but to win all of them, it's a great return, and you know, it just keeps it all going, and it's great again to see that everyone's still keeping relatively calm in terms of Tisdale and the players still playing it down. Fans are still rightly getting excited and, you know, still taking pictures of the table and that, and as the gap seems to widen. But it's only, you know, it's only looking good, isn't it?
And Dan keeps the incredible home form running, doesn't
he? Well, I mean, it's, you know, spent so much time last season, you know, talking about how difficult and how bad the home record was, and almost got to throw out all those stats and, you know, on how few games they've won and start a new list of how many games they've won. I mean, it's, you know, once they sorted out back end of last season, home form was pretty impressive, and this season that's 4 out of 4, no goals conceded, and it's exactly what you want. If you can, you know, you're winning your home games. They've kept they've also kept the away formers going as well. It's 3 wins out of 4 away from home, and that's, you know, exactly what we were seeing last season. They, you know, winning the away games, struggling at home. They've sorted out the home form now, kept the away form going, and you know, you're sort of looking almost over your shoulder. And the fact that, you know, the gap they've built up, it's, I think it's 8 points now to back to fourth spot. That means, you know, they've got 3 games in the next week coming up, 3, you know, potentially tricky games. But I mean, even if Exeter were to lose all 3 games, which, you know, touch wood, doesn't happen, they're almost certainly still going to be in the top 3, having, you know, had a run of 3 defeats in a row. And that's, you know, this early start, particularly, you know, the unchanged players, none of the new signings have really featured too much. I know Stockley's got a couple of goals off the bench, but they've been sort of in cameo appearances. You know, once everyone is settled into the side, the new players, you know, who they've brought in, you can add them to the side, you kind of feel, you know, it's only going to get better rather than getting worse, because, you know, I mean, you can almost take 11 players who haven't started any of the last few games, put an 11 out of them, and you're not really, there's not much of a drop in quality there, which, you know, they've not just got a good first 11, it's actually a good 22-man squad almost of players who, you know, could feature in any game, and you know, if you saw their name on the team sheet, you wouldn't, you know, be concerned at all. And it's, you know, this great start they've made to the season, you know, sort of, you know, it's put to bed, you know, last season, having lost the playoff final, sometimes there's a hangover from it, but not this season at all. And you know, the way it's going at the minute, it's very early to say, but you'd be looking at it and saying, well, Exeter aren't going to be bothering about trip to Wembley this season, and unless it's a cup final, because they're going to be in the top three.
And I mean, you mentioned the fact they have drawn one away from home. I mean, the incredible thing is that's only the only 2 points they dropped for the season, and they were inches away from winning it through Jack Sparks' curling strike against Swindon. If that had gone in, we could be sitting here looking at City winning every game this season. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Swindon game we should have won, really. And okay, we perhaps weren't our best against Newport and Lincoln, but I haven't seen a game this season where I thought, we don't deserve anything out of this, where we don't deserve to win. You know, the Newport and Lincoln wins it both 1-0, of course, and, we get the goal in both games, both teams have chances, but, it shows how strong defensively we are with that back four or three, as he likes to change it. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, obviously the cup defeats the Chequered Trade. Is anyone bothered about that? Nope. the League Cup with Charlton, that was just, they were just a better team, good young players. And even that was still a pretty decent performance. And, I haven't seen any game this season where I've been concerned or worried, because at home we've got that goal and held on well, not, sitting behind the ball, still going for further goals. So yeah, you have to say when's that defeat going to come? Because I think the runs keep going sometimes for teams, and you're expecting a loss to come at some point. And when you get these people that say, "Oh, they need to lose a game," which I've never understood at all. It's like when they say teams need to go down. Well, no, they don't. But at the moment, you just can't see a defeat coming. Sorry, and like Dan said, we got tough games, Coventry away and Notts County at home, who are second, but when you looked at Barnet away and Crewe at home, they were meant to be tough games, and won both games, scored 5 goals, conceded 1, so it just doesn't look like it's going to end at the moment, which is great.
Dan, as Jamie says, tough games coming up. The Notts County chairman on Twitter has actually started the mind games early for that one, a game too early, I would say. By saying that he thinks City and Notts County are going to be definitely top two. I mean, it's surely got to be too early to be talking about something like that, isn't it?
You'd think so, yeah. I mean, it's both clubs have made a really good start, and they both carried on back into last season. And Notts County, they were in relegation trouble for a lot of last season before, turning it around mid-table in the end. And, they've kept that run going, but I suppose you'd think it's too early to say they're definitely going to be top two, but the two sides who've started best in the division, they're the ones who've got going. They've got the gap to the sides below them. They don't really look like losing too many games, and they are the two in-form clubs at this moment. At the end of the season, if they were the top two, would you be surprised? You possibly not, the way it's gone. There's not a massive number of great teams in this division who actually, since teams like Coventry, as we'll come on to, I guess, in a minute, you've got a name value attached to them, but have they got the players that live up to that? Perhaps not. And so, is it too early to say they'll definitely be the top two? Probably, but you could definitely see them being the top two at the end of the season the way they've started, and that's, I suppose, the way you've got to look at it at this stage. They are the best two sides in the division on the form we've seen so far.
Well, let's have a listen to what Paul Tisdale said after the win against Crewe.
Strong performance and fabulous results. And Jordan Tilson got you off to a good start. He seems to be pushing it forward a little bit more this season and getting those chances, doesn't he?
He is, although that was from a corner, so he was in there, and it was we kept the play in and stopped them from clearing it. So that's what happens, ball forced you sometimes. So no, he's doing particularly well, and he's no different to all the others. They're all on their game at the moment. They're playing well as a team. When you play well as a team, you find you can just add that 5 yards, that bit of sharpness, that bit of speed to the ball, and make your own game look better. But it comes from the team being particularly, I think, quick and sharp and committed at the moment.
Yeah, because you've named an unchanged lineup now for the fourth game running, and I suppose that's symptomatic of the fact that they're all playing well.
It is. It's a real luxury to do that, because then when it comes to preparing for the next game, you've got fewer things to discuss. But, you know, sometimes when the best thing to do is nothing at all, and the team are doing well, they're fit, they're in form. We're still waiting for, you know, Dean Moxey and Jane Stockley and Hiram and other players who are not quite up to speed in terms of match fitness. So, but they've got a big challenge to find a way into the team, because everyone who's playing at the moment is at the top of their game, and I'm more than happy just to let that continue.
Created quite a few chances first half, and it must have been pleasing when Jake goes and fires that one in just to give you that two goal cushion at the break.
Yeah, I think we deserved a second. We certainly had the more clinical chances in terms of, you know, they had pressure and some good play, but we broke their lines and attacked their goalkeeper possibly more in that first half. I think we deserved a second. I think we looked really intent with our play. We looked really focused and we're forward thinking, and that second goal was, I mean, we might have got a third really into the break, but two was a nice cushion. And then of course it was nice in the second half, we sat in shape and they made passes, but we were happy to hold them in the pitch, and the third goal was a nice, that was a nice cushion.
Seemed to be a bit of debate between Jake and Jaden as if he got the final touch.
I don't think it was a debate. I think they both were saying it was their goal. So I'm not sure that is a debate. I think that's just a straightforward arm wrestle to see who took it. I think Jaden's probably saying he skimmed it. So either way, you know, I don't mind who scores it. You all know it's 3-0, and I'm glad we kept the clean sheet at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that must be another pleasing thing, isn't it? Another clean sheet here at home.
Yeah, I think it just it's a mindset, and it's good for the players to have that attitude, because, you know, even if you end up winning the game 3-1 or 3-2, it feels better to keep that ball out in there and to build for the next week.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Four straight home wins, Paul. Four clean sheets as well.
So yes.
It couldn't have been much better, really.
No, they, you know, not at all. Because if you get a clean sheet, you're not going to lose, are you? So, defensively we were strong. They played most of the passing. They committed to their passing game, but we were very, very strong, and I think very organised in our holding shape.
I know you don't look much at the table at this point of the season, but you've got a nice little cushion up there on the fourth place team, haven't you?
And yeah, I mean, I suppose it's not so much a cushion in terms of who's behind us and where who's fourth and who's seventh. I don't think that's really relative. I think it's a cushion as to the season going forward, making hay while the sun shines. That's really the more relevant cushion. It's about, we've got a long season ahead of us, we probably won't get it all our own way all the time, so we want to make the points while we've got a chance, and that's a more relative cushion, if you want to use that word. It's a good point to start from. Yeah. And when things are going well, it's a luxury, yeah, to have the same team on the pitch and no changes, and we're all in form, so let's make the most of it.
Yeah, and have a great atmosphere this afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good, yeah. Yeah, really good. It's you know, let's make the most of it.
Yeah.
Let's make the most of it. You know, it was a good day. I don't always join in with the "we're top of the league" chant, but always never. But they, you know, the supporters are entitled to enjoy it. We're enjoying the business of what we're doing and the product of our work. The supporters are entitled to enjoy the result and the situation. Of course,
I guess the message is the same: don't get carried away. You're top, but you're playing well. But
yeah,
keep focused.
You know, we have a choice to make as a team individually. Do we continue as we are? I'm not saying we win every game, but do we continue as we are, make all the same choices we've made in this first couple of months, or do we start to try to get clever and begin to think, well, let's just do it differently now? I don't think there's possibly a need to do that at the moment. So the choice is, we have to come to work every day, and we have to turn up for the next game with the same intent and work our way into the game like we did today, and we have done
over the last few weeks. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sort of psychology and the confidence of the team must be great as well, though. You know, this winning run, as you say, you kind of build that momentum. And the more you win, the more you believe you're going to win.
Yeah, showed on Tuesday night at Barnet. We had it all behind it. At no point did we feel that we wouldn't have a chance to win it. So I think my job is always to advise the team on how to think correctly. In my opinion, you know, it's just a subjective thought, but we have to continually challenge ourselves to think in the correct manner for the moment and the situation, and take nothing for granted. And that will always be our focus every week, is what is the right thing to, how to prepare. We'll always come by the start point. It's how do we think going into the next game, and that starts with my job.
Yeah, no, really exciting game to look forward to up at Coventry on Saturday.
Yeah, it'd be a good game, and we played there before in a very different sort of set of circumstances, different time in our development. And at the moment, we're in a strong position going to a strong team in our league. I'm sure it'll be a good challenge. And I remember Ollie Watkins scoring his first goal there, that cup game. Jordan Montero getting injured. There's a lot that day. You know, a lot of things that day, and I'd like to go back and closer, showing me the
data. And now moving on to Coventry then. So that's five games in a row that Paul Tittell has kept the same side. Can you two see him doing that again on Saturday, or Coventry a bit tougher? Might you change your out?
You feel with three games in a week, there will be changes at some stage. There'll be, you can't see him playing the same 11. You know, Coventry, then Notts County home, and I think it's Morecambe home the following Saturday. It's going to be changes, players coming into the side. You feel, the likes of Jaden Stockley here and Boateng will probably start at least one or two of those games. Dean Moxey, you expect, would come in as well. There's others who you might need to rest certain players. I mean, as it is, perhaps for the Coventry away game, you stick with the side that's gone for the minute, and then maybe look to change it up, freshen things up for the two games at home with mix and match. But it depends how he sees Coventry, how much of a threat he thinks they are. I mean, possible sub change you might bring, say, if you wanted to bring, say, Boateng in for McAlinden and just be a little bit more defensive, a little bit extra solidarity in the middle of the park. Go sort of three-man centre midfield with Taylor and Holmes pushing up, perhaps a little further as wingers. But the team he's been picking at the minute, it's working. It's all going to plan. There's no reason to change it. It feels slightly odd that you've got your record signing, you've got a guy in Dean Moxey who was playing League One football and Championship football the last few seasons. You've got Boateng, hotly rated guy signed from a Premier League club, who aren't in your starting 11 at this moment. By the end of the season, I suspect that probably will change, but at the minute they're being kept out of the team by players who start the season. You can't actually say any of them deserve to be dropped. No, at this stage, maybe they are better players, but the team is working at the minute, and barring any injuries, I suspect for Coventry away, we might see an unchanged lineup for the sixth time in a row, which will then change possibly for the next couple of games after that.
Your thoughts, Jamie? I mean, the Ricoh is a big ground, isn't it? Do you think that might have anything to do with it?
Possibly not. I mean, I was amazed actually when he named the same team at Barnet, just 3 days after Forest Green. I thought for sure he was going to make changes after naming, the same team for the third or fourth time. So why change it? Perhaps he'll make a change or two on Tuesday, but as I said, at Barnet he kept the same team. I've said it before, why change a winning team if everyone's fit and fresh? They've had, they would have had a week to prepare for it. As I understand, there were no knocks or niggles or anything that were picked up against Crewe. So, I'd keep the same team. We say it every week now, but Why would you change a team that works well together, that gels together? And, to be keeping the likes of Stockley and Boateng on the bench, it shows how impressive they've been. And, to be able to bring those kind of type of players on, you know, it shows how strong a squad we've got. You know, I don't think they'll be phased about playing at the Rico. You know, I went a few years ago in the JPT, and quite such a different scenario for both clubs. I know we mainly play youngsters in that game, but it was just, you know, a little trophy match, and you know, they're not going to be intimidated by a ground that's going to be three quarters empty, and it could be more City fans there. So, same team for me.
And I'm going to throw this one out there, up to you guys to debate it, I guess. Coventry, biggest club in League Two this season?
Name wise, you'd think.
Yeah.
Them, yeah, they obviously, you know, Luton, they're another fairly biggish club in terms of name. Swindon, I guess, have been, you know, Premier League as well, but it's Coventry. Yeah, they're the ones who you think Coventry, they should be a fourth tier club. I mean, what must have been, what, only 15-20 years ago they were a mainstay of the Premier Division. You know, they've been on the fall ever since, it feels like. But you know, particularly with the club and the ground they've got, they'd see themselves probably at least two divisions where they actually should be. And you know, some of the other bigger clubs like Portsmouth, where they got promoted last season, you know, Blackpool, another one, they went up. I mean, you'd think Coventry, name wise, are the biggest club in the division, but it doesn't mean that they're the best club in the division. And the table at the minute says that Exeter are, and I guess that's what Paul Tisdale will be concerned about more.
Jamie, you know, as Dan said, Coventry a big club, but a difficult game, but one City should be feeling confident about, I guess.
Yeah, why not? You know, the form that they're in, I think Coventry have started a bit. I think they got off to a decent start, but have faded off slightly. Although they've only conceded about four or five goals, I think. They've had a lot of draws, I think, quite a few nil-nils. But, you know, I guess to go away from home and get a win is always going to be a difficult task, especially in League Two. There's no easy games. You know, Coventry, of course, they're a huge club. You know, FA Cup winners, and Stan said, remember in the Premier League not that long ago. I say not long ago, 15 years now. But, you know, you've got to be going to these games and looking to win. You know, you're top of the league. You know, the pressure's going to be on to keep the run going. Not that Tisdale will be echoing that to his players, that they're under pressure to keep the run going. But, you know, to play in front of a lovely stadium, and, you know, okay, there might not be that big a crowd there, which could work in City's favour, but then I guess Coventry are used to it themselves. Could be a difficult pitch. Obviously, Wasps play there as well. They share the grounds, so might be, you know, a bit bobbly in places and difficult to play the way that Tisdale likes to play. But you know, you can't be afraid of going to teams like Coventry, as big a history they've got and as big a club they are. At the end of the day, they are a League Two club, and I don't know where they are on the table, but they're certainly not above Exeter City. So yeah, he's got to be going to win that game. Why not?
So predictions then, Dan, you first.
I'm gonna stick with 1-0 to Exeter City, which I've gone for pretty much every game this season, and well, particularly most of the home games, it's been right. So you know, look, I can see it being tight. You know, maybe one goal in it. You know, maybe a, you know, something on the break or a set piece in the second half. But Exeter to keep the run going.
Jamie.
Going to go for a similar result, but I guess I'll go different. Should be a relatively close game, but yeah, I'm going to go City to nick it 2-1.
I would say 2-2 then. I'll sit on the fence for this one, I think. It was a difficult game, and even when Coventry lost to Cambridge at the weekend, I heard reports that they were a very, very good side, so I think it'll be a difficult one, but you never know. So on to your questions then. First question from Anthony Beveridge. He's asked a couple. Is Taylor our new right winger? Well, in my opinion, I'm not sure new comes into it. I think he was the old right winger at one stage, where Wheeler displaced him, but now Taylor's gone back to that position. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, to be fair, you know, a lot of the recent games, he's actually been playing on the left wing, and Lee Holmes on the right wing, sort of, you know, almost inverted wingers, so to speak, but it seems to be getting the best out of Lee Holmes actually playing on the right hand side. You know, I think it was one, it would have been the, it was either, I think it could have been the Lincoln game or the Newport game. He was almost, you know, 35 minutes on the left hand side, completely anonymous, switched to the right hand side and to suddenly changed the game and was the best player on the pitch from then on. So it seems like, you know, Taylor and Holmes are the first choices out on the wing at the minute. They've got the ability to switch either side and everything, but you know, at the minute, you know, they've got the name on the, their name on the sheet. You've got the likes of, you know, Edwards, who can come on. Perhaps he's more of an impact sub at this stage, but Taylor and Holmes are doing the job that we saw Wheeler do out on that right wing last, and Wheeler and Watkins have done in the past. And you know, it's very early to say it, but we're actually not missing the players who've gone up off to the Championship so far.
Jamie, your thoughts on Jake Taylor on the right wing?
Well, he's played everywhere, hasn't he? I saw him at left wing back at Forest Green a couple of weeks ago. So I think he's one of those players that, although he's a right winger, he, you know, won't necessarily stay there. He'll run all over the pitch, as we've seen over the years. He'll run his socks off right into the 90th minute. And he just gives you that urgency to go forward. You know, you can always rely on him when he gets the ball to attack, to make a run down the wing, left or right. And you know, as we saw last week, he can chip in with goals as well, right place, right time. So you know, you can play him wherever, to be honest. It doesn't have to be a right winger. Like I said, we've had Wheeler at the start of the season, and then you had, you know, Macca Linden on that side switching with Lee Holmes sometimes, as he did recently. And you know, Holmes was terrific on the right wing at Forest Green. So you know, it just shows the versatility of Taylor and the whole squad. And you know, he's willing to put in a shift wherever. And you know, he can play, he's even played, you know, the number 10 role as well, and as I said, wing back as well. So, I don't know if I'd perhaps start him at right wing at the moment. Perhaps, you know, keep Macca Linden on there because he seems to be doing well. But certainly you'd put him, you know, on the left or just behind the front three maybe.
And he also asks, what do we think of the new media that comes out of the football club? And does it engage with supporters? Personally speaking, I enjoy it. You know, SJP 360 and things like that, I think a great way to sort of get behind the scenes of the club in a way. And I'm not sure so much about bringing in new fans as a sort of single medium, because I'm not sure how many new fans would be solely searching for SJP 360 if they're not fans of the club. But at the same time, I think they do help to complement the sort of things that go on the pitch, and I think they are a great way of sort of engaging with fans, especially fans who are sort of going to the games for the first few times. And I think that really does help the club sort of in their off the pitch sort of brand, I guess. How about you guys?
I enjoy, like you said, the 360. I think, you know, it's brilliant because you see it from such a different angle when, you know, you get shots of the crowd, and they do like the match in a minute as well, like before the game you see the atmosphere and the crowd building. So you know, it's great because, you know, normally previously with City and League Two, all you'd see is 2 minutes of highlights of a game every week, and that would be it, with, you know, poor quality filming or, you know, difficult conditions. But you know, to see these different angles and perspectives, it's a great idea, and yeah, I really enjoy it. I mean, I think this season particularly, club media, with some clubs, it's been all about, you know, when they announce signings, clubs trying to outdo each other, and the goal when a team scores and the club tweet out gifts with celebrations. I think the one that comes to most people's mind is Bristol City's, which is, it's Marmite, isn't it? You either love it or hate it, but everyone's talking about it, which is what they want, and it brings in extra, you know, attention and followers, and you know, perhaps people will start supporting them because of what they do, you know, media wise. But no, I really enjoy it. I enjoy, you know, when they do features as well with players, not just a straightforward interview, but I think fans want to know a bit more about the player behind, you know, off the pitch as well. Gets a bit more personal. So yeah, it's good, and you know, it just keeps. It's good to watch when the club's winning as well. It's a bit different, you know, when you lose 3-0, you don't really want to watch a 360 video, perhaps of like the crowd getting on the team's back or something. But it helps when the team's winning. So yeah, I like it. What about Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as you're saying, it's much easier for things, you know. When things are going well, you can put these videos out and people will watch them. I guess, you know, if next to a bottom of the table, is anyone going to watch an 8-minute edit of the match from various angles? Perhaps not. But what it seems to be, it's sort of showing the whole mood around the club at the minute, and that they can do all this because everything's going really well, and you know. It's not just the club who wants to be a part of it. I think the fans want to be a part of it as well. You know, you sort of see after victories, and you have a look on, you know, people on Twitter sort of, you know, getting behind the team and sort of joking with the club, saying, "Come on, where's these 360 highlights and you know all the videos?" And almost they, you know, encouraging the club that actually this is what the fans want. The fans, you know, want to see this. They're enjoying it, and you know, they want more. They want more of it, and the club are delivering it at the minute. And you know, there seems to, I think, you know, back about so a year ago when the results weren't going well, there was a sort of very sort of bit of a negative feeling around the club, and sort of how perhaps fans, you know, didn't feel that they were quite being told what was going on. But that's almost completely forgotten about at the minute, you know. And you know, issues like, you know, all those kind of issues, no one's talking about anymore. It's all about the pit, you know, the success on the pitch, and yeah, as long as the team keep winning, and I suspect that's the way it's going to stay.
And then just finally a couple of questions from Exeter City polls. First of all, what's our strongest team, and are Jaden and Hiram in it? Well, for me, I'd say on paper that is the strongest team, but at the same time you can't really argue with the results at the moment. And, you know, paper never won a football game, did it, to use the cliche. Dan, what are your thoughts?
I suspect by the end of this season, Jaden Stockley and Hiram Boateng will be starting pretty much every game for the club. You feel at some stage they're going to, be it through injuries, be it through suspensions, be it through just, you know, rotation, they're gonna get a couple of starts. And, you know, that's what, you know, saying on paper, but that they are two of the club's better players. You know, they'll get their starts, they'll play particularly well, and you won't be able to drop them. We've sort of seen that, I suppose, in the cameos so far. Stockley's got 2 in 3, and despite probably only playing 1 hour of football in total, probably less than that so far, he's already scored 2 goals. Boateng, every time he comes on, looks like he can change the game. Yeah, so much that, you know, you kind of feel it can't be too long before they are going to start. They can't just be sitting on the bench every single week. But while the team is winning, you know, these games, you know, you kind of say, well, okay, maybe they should be starting, but who instead of? And that's the thing that shows just how good the start's been, because actually you can't say that, you know, no one deserves to be dropped at this stage. They're all playing well, but eventually you feel, you know, Stockley and Boateng will come in. I suspect at some stage Moxie will come into the side and you know, start every week as well. I guess when they're back from, you know, Ryan Harley again, once he's back from injury, probably will be pushing for a spot in the starting lineup. You know, the likes of Edwards and Wilson, they've looked really good at youth team level up at you know, West Brom. I mean, Wilson was on the bench for them the first 2 or 3 games of their Premier League side at the start of the season. And Tony Pulis, you know, doesn't play players who are youngsters, and he doesn't play players who aren't 6'6" tall unless they're really good. And the fact that he was happy to have a 17-year-old teenage defender on the bench shows that, you know, actually Tony Pulis must rate this bloke. And if he's that good, he can't be that far away from, you know, really should be in the Exeter side, you'd say. But ahead of who, again, is the question, which is, that goes back to that the point we were making about the depth of the squad earlier. It's know, they've not got one good side, Exeter. They've actually got two good sides, and that, you know, that probably isn't going to be a strongest team. It's, you know, any 11 from almost a 22 man squad you can put on the pitch any single week, and that will be good enough to win games.
Jamie, City's strongest team. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you said, on paper, you probably see Jaden Stockley being there just because he's a club record signing. But, you know, you look at the deadline day transfer, Stockley, record signing, two guys from West Brom on loan, Premier League players, another one from Crystal Palace, Premier League player. You know, on paper, you'd throw them straight in the team, wouldn't you? But, no, for me, you know, it'd be the team that are getting the results and getting the wins and the starting team that have, you know, done so well over the last five or six games is the strongest team for me at the moment. You know, will that change in a few weeks? Possibly, when, you know, perhaps results don't start going the way that you would like. You know, and it just shows, again, the strength and depth to be able to keep these, you know, big name or big club name players out of the team for, you know, players like Jordan Moore Taylor, who's come through the academy, of course, Christy Pym, you know, academy players that have grown into the team, become regular starters. Jordan Tilson, of course, didn't really play that much last season. I know he was injured, but, you know, still struggled to break into the team. And, you know, I've almost forgotten about Ryan Hartley, who's, you know, obviously still to come back as well. And, you know, you think on paper, he's one of the club's strongest players as well, you know, given what he's done over the last few years for the club. But he's going to struggle to get into the team as well. You're looking at all these players thinking, you know, where are they going to fit? Whereas in previous years, you got a strong starting 11, and then you look at the bench and you don't really see much inspiration there. But then when you've got Stockley and Boateng and Jack Sparks, you know, let's not forget about him, what a start he made to the season. So it just shows, again, what a quality squad we've got. Not just a quality team, but a quality 22, 25 players.
And just touching on that, really, final question from Exeter City Polls. Do you see Carl Edwards, Kane Wilson and Jack Sparks playing that much this season? Where will they play? Well, I think where they're going to play is pretty much established. Carl Edwards is a winger, Kane Wilson a fullback, and Jack Sparks is a winger. And, you know, apart from Kane Wilson, hasn't played in the City shirt yet. Carl Edwards has played the under-23s on the wing. Jack Sparks is playing the first team for the on the wing. But do you see them playing that much?
Yeah, you'd like to see them get some game time. As we said, you know, Sparks has done extremely well so far when he's played, coming off the bench, and that game against Swindon, still remember that shot. You know, but at the moment, you can only see him getting in, you know, the cup games, the Checker Trade games, which, you know, you've got coming up down at Argyle in a week or so. So, you know, it just depends how the team does in the next few weeks. It really does. I think, you know, obviously to drop someone like Lee Holmes or Mackie London would be extremely harsh at the moment. If it was to be anyone, it'd probably be Liam, you know, but again, that'd be really harsh, but perhaps he hasn't got as many goals as he would have liked, but he's still putting in the hard work to supply Ruben Reid. So, you know, perhaps later in the season they might play, though I guess I think Carl Edwards and Kane are in here till January, aren't they? So time's already running out for them, I guess. But then as we get, you know, towards the Christmas period, when you get, you know, three games a week quite regularly, we've got another three coming up this week, so perhaps it will chop and change it a little, coming off the bench or starting a few more games. You know, we've got the Checker Trade coming up, as I said, the FA Cup will be soon as well, so, you know, perhaps they'll get more game time then, but at the moment, you wouldn't see them getting in the starting 11.
Dan?
I mean, at the minute you'd feel particularly Edwards and Sparks possibly more impact substitutes than starting players. I mean, what we saw Edwards in that youth team game where he played, and he just looked to be absolutely have lightning pace about him and ability to run at defenders and terrify them. And, you know, just to think of that, you know, him coming off the bench with 20 minutes to go, if perhaps a tight games or you need an option on the bench. The defenders, they're not going to have seen a lot of him. I mean, League Two defenders, you know, fullbacks aren't exactly known for having blistering pace about them. You know, to have him coming off the bench or on Sparks coming off the bench and, you know, running at tiring defences that Holmes and Taylor can have dragged them out of position for the first 70 minutes is a prospect that I guess not a lot of teams would be particularly looking forward to. And it gives Exeter a different option. That's, I suspect, what we're going to see, you know, the way they're going to be used most of the time at this stage. But, you know, even if they are just impact subs, not bad impact subs to have, are they? Two players who you would think in 3 or 4 years' time probably going to be playing around the Premier League in, you know, pretty regularly. And, you know, it's a good chance to, you know, I suppose if it's one player we want to go and see, future youth team players who are going to be playing in the Premier League, as, you know, we're seeing with Ethan Ampadu these days, Exeter City's the place to go to find them.
Well, that's everything from us today. A massive week ahead, really, with Coventry, Notts County, and maybe even the chance of Ethan Ampadu making his Chelsea debut. So, well, I'm sure we'll have plenty to speak about next week, so join us then.